There we go, huh? Nobody sings it like Roger Daltrey. Thought you were going in for an episode of CSI, didn't you? Me too. So good morning. Happy Father's Day to all of you who are fathers out there, and father wannabes and grandfathers and all those things. My name is Mike Lynch, and I've been around here for a while. Just occasionally, when they have kind of run out of things to do, they call me and I get to come up here. The first thing that you must know about me, first thing, and really the only thing that really matters, is that I was once far, far, far away from God. I was independent, choosing to live my life the way I wanted to live it, which was mostly about wine, women, and bong. Bong. Wine, women, bong, you know. Come on, John, work with me. You know. Anyway. But the incredible thing is how God never gave up on me. He never stopped loving me. He gently but persistently pursued me and waited for me. And when I was done with all that, really, really done, and some of you know exactly what I mean, when you're done, he picked me up out of the crap that had become my life, and he made me a new creation. And you know what? That's really the only thing that matters right there. I will never get over that, and I hope I never do. The second thing I will never get over is that Katie, the love of my life, my best friend, and my teammate, has put up with me for 40 years. 40 years. She's around there, right there. Yes. And she said, honey, your mic is on, when my mic was on out there. Good thing I didn't do something embarrassing. Together, we have enjoyed raising 5 amazing children. Slightly biased there. And yes, do I hear amen back there? I heard that. And 6 super grandkids, one of whom is here. Jesse, lift up the Lion King. There he is. With his parents, Dan and Adrian. So this is pretty cool that I get to preach on Father's Day. So thanks, guys. Thanks for inviting me. So that's a little about me. Now, let's talk about you. All right. So let's talk about you. The reason for the Who Are You song was that's our theme for the day. Who are you? Is your identity determined by chance, just a roll of the dice, your race, your gender, your country of origin, your family? Is that all just... it's out there, you have no choice about it? Or is your identity determined by you, your self-determined individual? You choose your own way, you make your own convictions, you're the captain of your soul, your own hard work. Or is there a third way? And that seems to be the theme of our series thus far, and so I'm thinking, yeah, there's probably a third way. So there's an intense icebreaker game out there that I was subjected to. Once. You see, there's 2 kinds of people in this world. Those who are in a room of new people and who say, hey, let's do an icebreaker. And those who want to kill those people. I'm in the latter group. But I was forced to do this icebreaker actually a couple of times, and the second time was even worse than the first. This is an especially egregious icebreaker because it's diabolical in its simplicity. Because all it is you pair up with a partner and you simply ask them one question. Who are you? Mm-hmm. And they give you an answer. And that wouldn't be so bad if you went back and forth, but you just keep asking the same question. Who are you? And they say something else. And, well, who are you? And they keep on saying, have you played this game? No? Good. So pair up with somebody. I'm so mean. Some of you are just hating me right now. Pair up with somebody. I'm not kidding. Pair up with somebody. If you're on my right, your left, you're the person who asked the question. You are going to turn to the person. If you're the person on the left, you ask the question. And the other person just has to answer. And the question is very simple. Just ask them, who are you? Okay, so on the count of 3, turn to that person. Turn to that person right now. Pick a partner. Who's going to be? Okay, say, on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Who are you? All right, that was way too much discussion. Way too much. Okay, time out. Silencio, por favor. All right, same person. Same person asked the same question. Who are you? One, two, three. Answer. All right, one more time. Same person asked us, who are you? Do it. Okay, all right. I'm going to spare you the ongoing awkwardness of doing this for 3 minutes, as we were forced to do. Who are you? I'm Mike Lynch. It was obviously my first response. Who are you? I'm a human being. Who are you? I'm a father. Who are you? I'm an American. Who are you? I'm Irish and French Canadian. Who are you? You can imagine that it gets harder and harder to answer those questions, because who are you at the end of the day can get pretty personal. At the end of the day, how much of myself do I want to reveal? Right? I'm a teacher. I'm a Bruins fan. Moment of silence. No. I'm an army brat. I'm a son. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. I'm a Christian. I'm a man. I am an old man. I'm coming to terms with this. I'm a political independent. I'm white. Ooh, it's getting kind of quiet in here. I'm middle class. I'm heterosexual. Ooh, it's getting a little warm. Yeah. Who are you? You see, it's a question of identity, but we can attack this question and ask and answer it on a lot of different levels. So, in one sense, your identity is based on just a few simple things: your gender, your geography, and your genealogy. You were born, a boy or a girl, into a certain family in a particular country, in a culture. That became who you are to the world. This is a picture of me. That's my passport. And I probably broke the law by doing that. It's okay, I blacked out the little number at the top. Where'd I go? But I want to see here, because on this document, there's all the stuff that the U.S. government needs in order to identify me as who I am. I can be anywhere in the world, and I can present that passport, and people know, okay, you're a citizen of the United States of America. You are who you say you are, so to speak. But is that all there is to who I am? Is my identity just a matter of documentation like this, a matter of chance? I didn't choose to be born on December of 1955. I didn't choose to be born human. Could have been a newt. You know, I didn't choose to be born male or white. I didn't choose to be born American. You ever thought about that? I didn't choose to be born into a loving family. And yet, I am all those things. They're all part of my identity, and I didn't have any choice in any of those things. To the world, though, that identifies me, right? But that's an incomplete answer. It's unsatisfying. It seems superficial. We want to go deeper than that when we ask and answer that question, who are you? Especially with people that know us. You want to go deeper with that. Jeffrey is one of my former students. I think there's a picture of Jeffrey in the classroom. He was born into poverty in Guatemala in 1998. Jeffrey and his younger brother fled Guatemala under a hail of bullets from rival gang members. Literally, bullets are flying as they're escaping the country, and they miraculously made it to a border town in Texas, where they discovered that the visas that they had purchased in Guatemala were bogus. Isn't that wonderful? People preying on people just who are down and out. So they were detained in one of those border camps in 1998, a 14-year-old and a 10-year-old, for 3 months. And then finally were allowed to travel to Lawrence, where his family lived. He was in eighth grade at that point and knew no English. I met him when he was in 10th grade, when he took honors physics with me. By that time, his English was amazing. Amazing. Even more amazing was his intellect. I could tell within a day that this kid was smart. Probably one of the smartest kids I've ever taught. But even more remarkable than his intellect was his quiet determination and drive. One of the humblest kids you'll ever meet in the world, and yet his drive was like nothing I've ever seen. He became the first person in his family to graduate from high school and to go to college. He earned a full ride scholarship to Columbia university where he's entering into his third year studying computer science. He's interning with Amazon this summer just for grins, you know. So who is Jeffrey? Well, part of who he is, part of his identity, always will be who this kid was born. He was born a scruffy little kid in a backwater town in a violent, gang-ruled country. But if there was anybody who could say they carved out their own existence, they made themselves into who they are today, it'd be Jeffrey. Because he is today, because of his character and his choices and his determination and his hard work, he's a high school graduate, he's a top scholar at a top university in the country, headed to a great career. So who are you? Are you a product of chance? Sure, partly. Your race, your identity, your ethnicity, your family of origin are pretty much set. You had no say in the matter. Or do you determine your own identity? Partly that too, of course. There's a ton of ways that we can remake ourselves, remodel ourselves, reform ourselves, change who I am to the world. Not the same person I was 10 years ago, I hope. But is there a third way to answer the question, who are you? And Paul, in his letter to the second letter to the Corinthians, says this, and it just rings so true for me. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. A new creation. The old things are gone. Behold, new things have come. A new creation, not just reformed. Nothing wrong with reform. Not just remodeled. There's nothing wrong with remodeled. But they're not the same thing. This is recreated. Paul used very specific language here. He knew that most of his readers would be Jewish at that point. Not all of them, but most of them. And they would be familiar with the very first book of the Old Testament, Genesis. And in Genesis, that word creation is very prominent. And it would make them think, when they heard that word, new creation, it would make them think of that first creation when God created ex nihilo, out of nothing, the universe, the galaxies, the stars, all the elements on the periodic table, out of nothing, the planets, light, darkness, and life. It would call to mind that moment when God said, "Let us make humankind in our own image, according to our likeness." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. That word, creation, was pregnant for his readers. And it reminded them that fundamentally, we're all creatures. So this right here is the creature feature for the day. We are creatures. We are created ones. I'm not saying anything that God doesn't approve of evolution or anything like that. I mean, hey, I'm a scientist as well. And I think evolution was one of God's best ideas. It allows us to adapt to all this stuff that we're doing to our planet, by the way. I think I offended everybody with that statement. Good. You're a creature. You're a creation of God. And Paul was building on that. He says this, if you are in Christ, not only are you a creature, a creation of God, you are new. There's something new here, something new. So Katie has a 2006 Ford Explorer. It has seen better days. It has served, and it has seen better days. Last summer, I contributed to its ongoing decrepitude by engaging in a slight fender bender. You know, when the wife goes, and you go, and, you know, mayhem ensues. It wasn't serious, but now the left fender is held on by zip ties in order to pass inspection. True story. Now, Katie deserves a new car. Ladies? Yeah, for sure. No doubt about it. But what if I went out in the garage and said, honey, I'm going to get you a new car. And I went out in the garage and I worked on the Explorer for a week, say 2 weeks, say a month. I vacuumed it. I detailed it. I got the magic marker off the seat rest, the headrest in the back that Lizzie drew a couple of summers ago. I got the gum and the melted crayons and some other unidentified sticky substance out of those backseat cup holders. You know how nasty those things are? I waxed and polished the outside of the car. I sanded and buffed and repainted some rust spots. I replaced the hanging fender. Huh? All that? I would be a good husband for sure. I am not that husband. But I would be a good husband for sure. But I could not surprise her and say, "Hey, look, honey, I got you a new car." Couldn't say it. It would be a lie because it's not new. It's reformed, it's remade, it's remodeled, it's buffed, it's all shiny, but it's not new. New is new, as in not old, not the same, not as before. Same with us. If we are, and Paul says it, a new creation in Christ, you're not just a better version, not just a cleaned up version of your old self. You are new, like a freshly minted, uncirculated coin, new and stamped with the face of Jesus. That's a new creation. So who are you? You are a creation of God, beautiful, significant, and loved. You are a new creation in Christ, signed, sealed, and delivered. And one more thing, as several of the songs we sang alluded to this morning, Paul says, in Jesus Christ, you are all children of God through faith. For all of us who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Are you? Are you male or female? Are you slave or free? Are you Jew or Gentile? We are so good at defining one another, as classifying people by our differences. That's what we do in this world. Now, it makes a difference how you were raised. We're all raised in a certain way. If you were born a Jew, then certain things were part of your heritage and history. You had in your heritage and your history the Exodus. Charlton Heston. Da 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 da. You know that one. Anyway, you know, you had the Ten Commandments, Moses, Mount Sinai. You had the Elijah and the prophets of Baal. You had David and Goliath. These were all your people. These were your stories. This was you. It's your family. It's all part of you. Story upon story of the heroes of the faith. As a Jew, you would have been a part of that rich lineage, and it's in you. Now, you couldn't have like surf and turf. No shellfish and no pork, so barbecue and lobster were out. But you gave the world bagels, and that has to count for something. Gentiles, on the other hand, they had their own heritage as well. The Greeks were prominent Gentiles of that time that Paul was speaking with, and they had their own mighty men. We've all read them, Odysseus, the Iliad, the Odyssey, the Spartans, their amazing mythology of gods and goddesses, the architecture they left behind, pretty amazing, still there in many places, their philosophies, the Olympic Games that we still do today, part of our own culture. So here are two disparate groups, two very, very, very different groups of people that were coming together and all of a sudden saying, "Hey, you're one of them, not one of us." But all of a sudden they had to do this. So the Jews had a great history, great culture, great food. So did the Greeks. Those identities were important to them. And they should be. Nothing wrong with those things. Ethnicity is important. I mean, I'm proud of mine. My mother's side of the family, we came from Canada, where French is everyone's first language. My mother learned English in school, you know. My first words were French, but that was another story. Anyway, my grandfather was a baker in Van Buren, Maine. We still make ploys and pea soup. Anybody here know what ploys and pea soup? Ploys? No? Nobody? Somebody? There's one French Canadian in this room. I'm leaving. You are just not my people. Anyway, no. Ploys, and anyway, buckwheat pancakes, delicious pea soup. It's awesome. Great meal. My father's ancestors came from Ireland. My great-grandfather pushed a cart on the streets of Boston selling fruit and vegetables. That's how they came to America after the Irish potato famine and all that stuff. I mean, you all have similar stories like that. Let's see. Do we have any good Irish? Well, we have Guinness. We gave the world Guinness. That's what we did. Okay. I'm thinking of Irish food. No. But Guinness. So very important parts of my life. You know, these heritages that I'm a part of, and I'm proud of my ancestry. They're not the most important thing in my life, though. And that's important to remember, because we are seeing today increasingly divided populations based on race, ethnicity, what side of the block you're on, all those things. I am white, I am male, I am middle class. There are those who would say that defines me, and they make up their mind about me based on those things right away. But I've done the same thing. In my heart of hearts, I've done the same thing. I'll admit to having certain prejudices at times when I've seen people of different ethnicities or colors. It's hard not to. And it's only when I remind myself of what Paul said here and of who I am in Christ that I'm able to realize and to see people as Christ does, that I am a creation of God, much loved by Him. I am a new creation in Christ, stamped with the image of God, stamped with the face of Christ. And I must see people the way God sees them as well, as human beings, created in His image, created with an inherent goodness and an inherent longing for the same love that I long for. Who are you? It's a question that borders have been drawn over. Political parties have been created over that question. Wars have been waged over that question. Are you one of us or are you one of them? Are you with us or are you against us? Identities can cement people together, and they can also alienate people from one another and become the basis for fear and prejudice and the worst of human emotions. That's why Paul's words are so important. He says, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God. For all of you who were baptized into Christ Jesus have clothed yourself with Christ. In order to truly know who you are as a follower of Christ, you must first know who Jesus is. So let's look at that just quickly. Jesus got that question a lot. Who are you? John the Baptist, his own cousin, said, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? When Jesus entered Jerusalem, it says the whole city was abuzz and said, who is this? After Jesus was in a boat with his friends and he calmed a storm that threatened to swamp them all, his followers asked, who is this? Even the wind and the seas obey him. After Jesus had healed a paralyzed man, the Jewish leaders asked the healed man, who is this fellow? Who is this guy who told you to pick up your mat and walk? When Jesus was at a party and forgave the sins of a penitent, weeping woman, the other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Pontius Pilate asked him, who are you? Caiaphas, the high priest, said, are you the Messiah, the Son of God? The identity of Jesus was of paramount importance. Who was this man who gave sight to the blind, who preached in open air, who healed the sick, who cured lepers by touching them, who cast out demons, who calmed storms, who raised the dead, and who pronounced sins forgiven? Was he a renegade? Renegade rabbi of some kind? Was he a magician, a sorcerer? Was he a demon from hell? Was he a victim of delusion, of mental illness? Ironically, the only ones who saw clearly the identity of Jesus were the demons. The demons, they said, have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. The Holy One of God. Jesus himself was crystal clear about who he was. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world, but I am not of this world. Before Abraham was born, I am. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd of the sheep. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the true vine. My Father's the gardener. Jesus was laser focused. I am God's Son. I am the resurrection and the life. I and the Father are one. There was no wavering. There was no self-doubt. Jesus considered his identity to be the most important thing in the universe. We should too. The most important thing, you see, isn't the answer to the question, who you are. The most important thing is the answer to the question, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Jesus was not a great teacher. He was not a published author. He was not a military genius. He did not rule a nation. He was and is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was and is the ruler of the universe, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He was and is God, the great I am, the Lamb of God, the Savior, the Forgiver, the Friend of sinners. And he is the anchor for our souls. The most important thing is who Jesus is. The second most important thing is who you are. And who you are depends completely on your relationship with him. As we've said, we're all creatures, human beings created good by God. But somehow, somewhere along the way, we got off track. We went rogue, independent. We said, I am the captain of my soul. And we became proud of that. Not much room for God there. We're still human, still essentially good, but our goodness was just an echo of a long-forgotten voice. Like an addict, we're still desperately longing for beauty, for justice, for love, but we felt powerless to change, doomed to failure, or even more insidiously, doomed to success. But into our darkness and into our independence, Jesus came. And for those who choose to follow him, a whole new world opens up. A new creation. A new identity. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You're no longer a slave, but God's child. You're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, members of his household. You're children of the light, children of the day. And one of my all-time favorites, when I need to remember who I am, and more importantly even, who we are as God's people, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So who are you? Who are you? When I remind myself of who I am, it's then that I can live out my identity. I can see people as Christ does. And acceptance replaces prejudice. Love replaces fear. Bridges rather than walls are built. I can open my heart. I can be a light to the world, reflecting God's love and bringing healing to this fractured and fear-filled world. Who are you? You are a creature created by God in his image and much loved by him. You are a new creation, recreated by God in the image of Christ. You are a child of God, clothed with Christ and tasked with bringing him out into the world to continue his mission of seeking and saving, loving, healing, feeding, and building. That, friends, is who you are. Let's pray. Father God, it's especially poignant to be here today talking about you, our Father, who is in heaven. And we thank you, Father, that you are the one who is steady and steady state and never changing, all powerful, and that you see beyond our foibles and our weakness and our petty independence and our petty hatred and our prejudices, and you see beyond all those things to the core of a human being whom you created good and you love. You loved and you love and you always will love. And that's your trademark, our Father. So, Father, continue your work in us. Make us more and more the new creations. Help us to live as your children, to bring your light and your love, healing, forgiveness to people, and food for the hungry, hope for the desperate, and all the things that this world needs. Help us to be those who see the world as you see it, as one family of yours. We love you, Lord. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.